on the Vermont Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Cat. Get equipped, get to work now. From the Handy Toyota broadcast booth, here's Maura Sheridan.
Welcome to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Cat. Get equipped and get to work, located on Cat Lane in Richmond. I'm your host, Maura Sheridan. This is Season 2, Episode 14. We've got a really nice show for you today, but first let's take a look at this absolutely jam-packed week in Catamount country. So we'll start with UVM men's basketball. They're kicking everything off on Thursday with a nationally televised game on the road at UMBC. ESPNU is going to air that rematch of last year's America East semifinal game. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Again, that's Thursday the 18th. You can listen to the game on 101.3 The Game as well. If you're tuning into the podcast format of Catamount Insider, that would be on Friday, so hopefully the men's basketball team will come up with a victory. The Catamounts get another shot at the Retrievers Friday night at 5 o'clock. Again, check out 101.3 The Game, or you can view it on ESPN3. The EISA ski season continues this weekend on Friday, that's February 19th, as the Nordic teams compete in a 15K at Jackson XC, which is in New Hampshire. The UVM swim team also travels to New Hampshire for a meet with UNH this Saturday at 1:30 p.m. You can catch all the action on America East TV. The Catamount women's hockey team plays Friday and Saturday in a series with Northeastern. Those games are at 5 p.m. and 3 p.m. respectively. The Cats are 6-2 on the year. Finally, women's and men's cross country match up in a quad meet against Albany, Binghamton, and Hartford. That is on Sunday. As always, you can check uvmathletics.com for more information. Stay tuned for a lot more information coming out because we're actually starting spring seasons really soon. I believe UVM men's lacrosse actually starts next weekend. So you're going to want to stay tuned for all of that info. I will mention it always in this podcast, but it's always good to check out that website for all the schedule updates and changes. Like I said, that was a jam-packed schedule, but we've actually got a lot going on in this episode of Catamount Insider. We've got former UVM women's basketball broadcaster and current ESPN broadcaster Mike Cousins on the show today, and we've got a preview of women's field hockey with Vermont native Claire Sheehan. So all of that is coming up. First, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Cat from Learfield IMG College.
Now you can get the performance you need. Now you can get the features you want. Now you can get a cat. Because for a limited time, Milton Cat is offering 0% financing for 60 months on most machines. Now you can at Milton Cat.
Burlington Country Club, located in the heart of Burlington and founded in 1924. BCC is the oldest club in Chittenden County, and although the club is steeped in rich history, the grounds and community continue to evolve. Today, BCC is filled with an energetic, youthful membership and a vibrant social scene with weekly leagues, couples golf, and family-friendly events that members can enjoy with friends and family alike. There's something for everyone, both on and off the course, at BCC.
Hey, Catamount fans, this is Dr. McKay from Essex Family Dental, the official sponsor of UVM Athletics. Did you know that we provide all the dental services under one roof? From dental wellness appointments to dental implants, Invisalign, pediatric dentistry, and much more. We wish UVM and their fans the best of luck this season. Stay healthy and safe. And if you're looking for a dental provider, visit us at EssexFamilyDental.com. We are looking forward to meeting you.
So, as an alcohol-free product full of real Budweiser taste, we have the unique opportunity to bring Budweiser's flavor, taste, and enjoyment to guests with zero compromise. Budweiser Zero. Full-flavored, zero alcohol brew. 0% alcohol, 100% on your game. This message is brought to you by your friends at Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
There's just something about Vermont. It's more than green mountains and maple syrup. It's about the people. It's what makes us strong. No other company has symbolized Vermont's strength and independence more than Vermont Mutual. The only place to purchase Vermont Mutual policies is through local independent insurance agents. Vermont Mutual is the oldest insurance company in our state and also one of the highest rated in the nation. For your home, auto, and business insurance, visit Vermont Mutual online to find a local agent near you.
Moving, remodeling, or just cleaning up? Make your project easy by renting a dumpster from Casella. Casella will help you estimate how much waste you have and recommend the best size dumpster for your job. And they will deliver it and remove it when you say so. It's that easy. It's all hauled away with no fuss and no worry. At home or at work, Casella will be there for you. To order your dumpster today, call 1-800-CASELLA or visit CasellaDumpster.com.
Curious about cannabidiol? Ceres Natural Remedies is Vermont's premier destination for all things CBD. We demystify hemp-derived CBD with genuine facts, something we call full-spectrum education. Visit us in downtown Burlington, Middlebury, and Brattleboro for lab-tested, Vermont-crafted CBD products. Show your student ID to save 10%, or shop online at CeresRemedies.com. That's C-E-R-E-S Remedies.com.
Hi, I'm here to pick up my mother's diabetic supplies.
Of course, Mrs. Jenkins. How is your mom?
Actually, yesterday she... Oh, excuse me. Hey.
Hey, Mom. I completely forgot about Jackie's birthday tomorrow. Do you think you could pick me up a card and a couple of gifts?
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, Jan.
Hi, honey.
Joey's definitely got allergies.
Hello.
Hi, Mommy. Are you still at Kenny's?
Would some Legos make you feel better?
Yeah.
We've got this.
Kenny Drugs. We got this. And that.
Catamount Country, it's time to dance!
Markin for three, got it!
From Shanahan again, she scores!
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win!
Here on Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Catt, I'm Maura Sheridan, and today I am joined by ESPN broadcaster and former University of Vermont women's basketball broadcaster Mike Cousins. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, it's great to be back.
So I want to rewind a little bit to the start of your career. You started off at Syracuse University, but what initially drew you to becoming a broadcaster?
I think it was that I didn't have cable TV growing up. Which sounds strange and definitely made me anomalous among my peer group because, at the time, the biggest thing you could watch was like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network on cable TV. And so I didn't have that. But you also didn't have access to a constant stream of live sports. You know, you would get the Major League Game of the Week, whatever was on Fox, or the NBA, which is on ABC, I think, at the time. And then like local Mets and Yankees games on the weekends sometimes. So I listened to the radio a lot. It was during baseball season, which fortunately is like half the year. You know, I would finish my homework and then I would turn on WFAN and I would listen to Mets games. And me and my mom had a partial season ticket package, which I think was like 10 to 15 games. So we would drive down into Queens and go to Shea Stadium, RIP to Shea Stadium. But we would go a few times a year. We would go to opening day. And I got more interested in like where the broadcasters were sitting more than anything else. And like, how do these guys get to those jobs? And, you know, now that the access to information has become so democratized, like we understand what those paths are to get there. Whereas in the mid to early 1990s, when I was going to those games, you didn't know how to become a broadcaster. It was just like, okay, the person who's the voice of the team has most likely for a very long time been the voice of that team. So that was what initially got me interested in. It was just kind of the theater of the mind of listening to games on the radio and wishing that I could do that because it was exciting to listen to.
Do you remember the first tape you ever made?
Well, it's funny because I got into calling baseball over the summers in college without having any baseball experience whatsoever. So I probably hope that entire first summer of 2008 of baseball doesn't exist in MP3 format anywhere because it was probably really bad. One of the first ones I remember making was a Syracuse women's basketball game with a friend of mine, Andrew Allegretta, who's now the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. And I lived in Brewster Hall at the time, which was a pretty short walk, relatively speaking, over to the Carrier Dome. And he just texted me. He said, hey, do you want to go make a tape? I didn't know how to make a tape. So I went down to the dining hall. I grabbed a copy of the Post Standard from that day, the newspaper, and I clipped out like the preview section from the newspaper for that day's game, because that was all the information that I knew how to access at the time. And I like taped that, scotch taped that onto an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and sat there trying to look up and down at my chart, you know, hard to call it a chart, but at my information and what was happening on the court and trying to keep up with what was going on. So it was a feeble effort, but we've all got to start somewhere.
I still have the first one I ever made. It was at a Syracuse men's lacrosse game. And I just sat up there in the top, and some people were kept trying to bother me. They thought I was, I don't know, a fan or something. They're like, is this woman okay? She's just by herself. And it is just full of minute full pauses. Like, I just stopped for a minute and didn't know what to say. It was, you know, like you said, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, with lacrosse too, unless you went to a high school that had it or you played it, it's a sport you've probably never watched before as a college freshman. The good thing is about going to Syracuse is that for basketball and lacrosse games in the dome, you can find a lot of empty spaces if you go up into the upper deck. So you can stay away from people who might otherwise hear you in your nascent stages of trying to learn play-by-play. I also remember it was early on, maybe my sophomore or my junior year, and there were some football scrimmages happening before the high school football season started. And a bunch of us just lined up on a hilltop. I think we were at CBA in Syracuse. And we just stood there, probably like spaced out 10 feet apart. One guy holding a recorder, one guy holding a chart, and just making up names and trying to do our best play-by-play that we could to try and get ourselves cleared to get on the air.
It's a type of, I don't want to say nerdiness, but it's a type of personality that people don't understand. And I remember in college, I would try to explain to people why I was going to this high school football game. And they're like, all right, that's very strange. But it's what you have to do to get better.
Nerdiness is a moniker that I'm willing to accept for it, because it is. It very much is. And, you know, in college, like a big night to go out is Friday night. And my friends would be like, well, where are you? And I'd say, well, I'm in Baldwinsville calling a high school football game. You know, I'll meet you at Chuck's after the fact once I get off the air. But, you know, those are the people who I hung out with, and the people who I'm still really good friends with today. Was Greek life is really big thing at Syracuse, and I wasn't in a fraternity, but I would say that the radio friends that I made were my fraternity, because we spent all of our time together at the radio station. We lived together. We had class together. And so that was my nerdy group, but I'm okay with that.
So in 2011, you graduate, then you come straight to University of Vermont, and you're the women's basketball broadcaster for that year. What was that experience like? How did you get that gig?
So I graduated a semester early. I came in with enough credits to leave a full year ahead of schedule. But what I did was I spaced out my credits so much that I ended up only graduating a semester early, because I wanted to do as much as I could at the radio stations outside of the classroom. Because not that having a degree isn't important, it is, but for what we do, you could do it without a college degree. It's, you know, that's the fact of the matter. Like, I wrote very few papers in college. I would say for every hour I spent in the classroom, I probably spent 10 at one of the two on-campus radio stations at Syracuse, because I knew that was what I wanted to do. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I have to drag myself there. That was where I was, you know, magnetically pulled to be. So I graduated in December of 2010, and I took a job as the number two broadcaster with the Dayton Dragons, a Reds minor league team out in Dayton, Ohio. And so I was there from March of 2011 until September of 2011. And then while I was there, I got word that there was an opening at the University of Vermont to be the play-by-play broadcaster for the women's basketball team. And a thread throughout my career has been that some Syracuse connection has helped me end up wherever I have ended up. And so the thread that got me to Burlington was Joe Lee, who's the general manager at WAER, the NPR station at Syracuse. And he had put, I think he posted it just like as a Facebook post, like, hey, are there any recent graduates interested in this job? And when you start out in broadcasting, the jobs that you work, as the one I did in Dayton was, are seasonal. When that season is over, so is your employment. So you're always looking for the next thing. So I applied for that job and I took a day off, I believe, from the baseball team in Dayton, and I flew up to Burlington. I got picked up at the airport and I met with, at the time, Paul Goldman was the owner of WVMT Radio and a tremendous guy and a Syracuse grad himself. And so I met with Paul at the radio station. I met with a couple other people over there. I met with Lisa Champagne, who was then the sports information director for the women's basketball team at UVM. I met with the coaching staff, and that was it. But I moved up to Burlington in October of 2011, when you could still wear a t-shirt outside, and then things rapidly got colder from there.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned all these names that I have connections with. Since I'm from here, Paul Goldman, his daughter, and I, we played AAU basketball together. And so he also was the one that pushed for me. And then Alistair Ingram from Syracuse also pushed for me with little to no experience in play-by-play. So I credit them so much for giving me those opportunities. I just heard from Paul the other day. He's a great man, great man.
Yeah, he'll still email me every once in a while. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I heard from him on Thursday. I've got the Syracuse game on TV on Wednesday night of this week as we're taping it. And sometimes I'll hear from him and he'll happen to have watched the game and say, hey, I saw how you're doing. You know, it's great to see what you've done ever since you were in Burlington. And like, I give so much credit to him for taking a chance on me, who had no professional basketball experience whatsoever. And it was a unique atmosphere in that the station at the time, WVMT and 95XXX in that one little building, were locally owned. And it was a place where I could just show up and, you know, people, you know, not to sound like Cheers, but like people did know your name because it was a very small operation. And like, if I needed to go in and record an interview, if I needed to cut something up with the audio editing software there, I was always welcome to do that. And I really appreciated that. And, you know, there was a couple times where I filled in with Charlie, Ernie, and Lisa to read the morning news a couple times. So I woke up really early to do that. Or I went out with Charlie one day when Merle Weinberger was running for mayor. This was when he got elected. And we aired the mayoral, one of the mayoral debates. And so I was there to set up the audio equipment because I knew how to do it for a remote broadcast. And so, like, I didn't know anything about politics, but I was willing to throw my hat in the ring to do that. So you felt like you were something part of, you know, something a little bit bigger than yourself, which was really cool. And I appreciated that.
Well, he's still the mayor.
Yeah.
We'll take a break and then we're going to hear more from Mike Cousins after this. You're listening to Catamount Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hey, Cats fans, did you know PC Construction is the largest employee-owned company in Vermont? We offer opportunities to get you into an exciting construction career building some of the country's most complex projects up and down the East Coast, and that includes UVM. PC Construction has left its mark on this beautiful campus for 50 years, from the top floor of Billings to the basement of the Gut. We're so proud of this long tradition and happy to support UVM athletics. Visit pcconstruction.com and go Cats go!
Curious about cannabidiol? Ceres Natural Remedies is Vermont's premier destination for all things CBD. We demystify hemp-derived CBD with genuine facts, something we call full-spectrum education. Visit us in downtown Burlington, Middlebury, and Brattleboro for lab-tested, Vermont-crafted CBD products. Show your student ID to save 10%, or shop online at ceresremedies.com. That's C-E-R-E-S remedies.com.
68 teams, one program. March Madness is coming. Celebrate the return of the historic NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament with the official NCAA Men's Final Four Souvenir Program, featuring profiles on all 68 teams selected for the tournament. So take it to the basket, the shopping basket, by pre-ordering the official program now at publications.learfieldimgcollege.com. That's publications.learfieldimgcollege.com. Order today.
Natural Casings, of course, is our big seller, and then we have in the skinless variety, we have the all beef and the all meat.
Bill McKenzie talks about that staple of summer, McKenzie hot dogs.
We haven't changed ingredient-wise or the way that we make the hot dogs in all these years. The same fresh meats go into it. There's no fillers. Still using natural spices. Did the same way when old John McKenzie was around.
McKenzie hot dogs, available wherever fine meats are sold.
If you're going to have a hot dog, why not have a good one? And McKenzie's is a good one.
Now you can get the performance you need. Now you can get the features you want. Now you can get a cat. Because for a limited time, Milton Cat is offering 0% financing for 60 months on most machines. Now you can at Milton Cat.
Burlington Country Club, located in the heart of Burlington and founded in 1924. BCC is the oldest club in Chittenden County, and although the club is steeped in rich history, the grounds and community continue to evolve. Today, BCC is filled with an energetic, youthful membership and a vibrant social scene with weekly leagues, couples golf, and family-friendly events that members can enjoy with friends and family alike. There's something for everyone, both on and off the course, at BCC.
Northfield Savings Bank is the bank of builders, makers, doers. In other words, we are the bank of you and everything you do. With mobile and online banking, drive-up service, and of course, in our branches. That is banking your way. That is Northfield Savings Bank. Start banking your way today at nsbbt.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You know, when you go back and look at your time at UVM, what's the game that's going to stand out to you?
Probably the last one, which was the only game that the team played in the America East tournament that year. And they battled injuries throughout the year. But there was that game where I felt like they might have a chance to actually like win this game and move on in the tournament. You knew that it was going to be a really long shot for them to actually win the tournament and get to the NCAA tournament, which they had done not just a few years before when they had a really good team with Katsopoulos and Pilipaitis. Yeah. And you know, she was an Olympian for Team Canada after that. So they had a really good team, and this team had lost a lot of experience, but there was a lot of fight in it, and they were a young group, and it was a lot of fun. And like, I have these charts here, which this was back when I made my charts by hand. So I would sit with a mark, you know, Sharpies and a ruler, and I would make them that way. So I have here at the top of this, you know, they closed the regular season with a 72-60 loss at UMBC last Saturday. So they came in 10-19. And on the opposite side, the Albany Great Danes, who were 20-9. So like, that was a team. They had a couple first team players on there, and you're like, all right, you know what, if this is going to happen, like, it's going to be a really big miracle. Ashley Hoyt, who was local and a Vermont native, hit a couple big threes in that game and was not a significant contributor throughout the course of the year. So you're like, all right, you'll take the points wherever you can get them in this game. And it was really exciting. The game was in Hartford and they ended up losing. That was the end of the season. And so, you know, it's a weird feeling after that where the season's over, you know, certain careers are over because seniors' playing time has come to an end in college. And I didn't necessarily know how much longer I was sticking around because I had another job I had to go uproot myself for to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then I think my first one too, you know, I've got my credential from that, from, we were at the university, at Columbia, and we drove in, and I remember we stayed in New Jersey because, obviously there's less traffic over there and it's less expensive to stay in New Jersey than it is in Manhattan. And on our way out of town, I believe, I want to say that was a noon game in Levian Gym, which is a basement gym. And I was set up on one of the baselines in the corner. So my first broadcast, I'm already really nervous and I've got a bad vantage point where I can see from the baseline, but to the other baseline was as far as you could get in that gym. And on our way out of town, Lori Gear McBride, who was the head coach at the time, wanted to, you know, let us experience New York City a little bit. So I think we had a couple hours where we could you know, just go explore. I think we were parked by Bryant Park, and one of the players was late coming back to the bus, and it ended up getting us stuck in traffic, getting out of New York City, and just made our trip home that much longer. But it's, you know, at the time you're like, oh, this is really annoying. But looking back on it, it's one of those funny things, because it was a freshman who was late too. So everybody piled on a little bit more.
Of course. Yeah, it's funny because we went to play We went to New York City last year, similar thing. We're walking around, but it's all these people from Indiana, Vermont, like these small places, and we all got lost in New York City. And we were all separated. We took the wrong subway. We were all over the place. And, you know, we're so nervous because we're in the big city. And it ended up working out. But I think we're very late to our dinner reservation.
It's hard to get around if you haven't, because when you come up out of a subway stop or you look at an intersection, you don't know which direction you're heading or which street is next. And Google Maps with all the buildings can kind of get you, it doesn't tell you exactly where you are. So sometimes you just got to walk a couple blocks and hope you're going in the right direction. And if not, you turn around and go the other way.
So is that your favorite road story?
The only other one that jumps out to me is there was a trip that we were taking to the University of New Hampshire, which is, relatively speaking, a close trip. If you're thinking about like a team like UMBC or Stony Brook, is a little bit longer in the America East. And I worked a second job when I lived there. I worked at a call center in an industrial park in South Burlington. And so I would put in whatever shifts I could at the call center because I wanted to try and make as much as I could. And so the team bus, I think, was leaving at like 2 o'clock or whatever. And my shift on a, you know, let's say the game was a Saturday and my shift was on Friday and my shift went till 5 o'clock. And I said, you know what? It's two and a half hours to get over there. It'll be fine. Well, winter weather being what it is, there ends up being this massive snowstorm, and you'd always rather have someone else driving when there's a snowstorm, let alone be on a bus. And so I think I had to drive like 30 miles an hour to get to UNH. And was just regretting it the whole time, because I was like, you know what? I really would have much rather been on that bus than talking to the crazy people who are calling into the customer support line where I'm answering the phone here. But that job had its own good stories in and of itself at the call center. So I did regret doing that. It's just one of those great stories that you look back on and say, well, it, you know, put that in the book one day.
Exactly. So what do you think your time at UVM did for you in terms of the rest of your career so far?
It allowed me to understand how to work with a team, which is not something that I do now on a national level, where I will swoop in and call a game between two teams and then may not see them for the rest of the year. But it gave me the appreciation of how much work goes into every team season, whether they're a team that wins the league or a team that goes 10 and 20, because everybody's hours are very similar in terms of the amount of practice they do, the strength and conditioning they do when they get home late from road trips or they wake up really early. And, you know, there was over the Thanksgiving tournament of that season, we went down to do a tournament in Houston that was hosted by Houston Baptist University. And so the coach who had just taken over that program, it was not a successful program. She comes in and is trying to build it back up. And so in the pregame interview that I did, I asked a question where I didn't phrase it really very well. So it probably came off as insulting of me saying basically something to the effect of, well, why would you want this job of a team that's been perpetually not very good? And so she didn't say anything to me at the time, but a couple days later, after we had gotten back, I got called into the head coach's office, and Lori says, hey, you know, I'm friends with this coach. The way that you asked that question really didn't come off great. And she wasn't mad at me. She understood that I was in my first time as a lead broadcaster for a team, and just said, hey, when you think about how you want to ask that question, think about how you can phrase it better, or maybe not ask it, and understand that if someone's taking that job, it's because it's the next step in their career, and how to approach things better that way. And you become part of a family too. I think that is a really special experience. So I remember that there was a team Secret Santa event that, you know, they didn't have to include me on that, but they did. And it felt really nice that they did, because, you know, I contributed whatever my lame gift I'm sure was, but I still have the gift that I got from Annie Wheeler, who was a freshman that year, a Starbucks travel mug, which has been very sturdy and a critical part of my travel mug collection, that is still with me now 10 years later. So, you know, every time I take that out of the cabinet, I'm like, oh, that's a good memory from Vermont. So, the relationships that you develop with people too. I have this card that the staff gave to me at the end of the year, just to kind of say thank you from all the assistants and the head coach. She said, I can't thank you enough for all of your efforts this season. We'd love to have you back next year, unless you've landed a job with ESPN that by then. I guess we could accept that. Take care and good luck. So I didn't join ESPN full-time until 2014, but by the winter of 2012, which was a year after that I had started my season with UVM, I had started doing some freelance work for ESPN3 and games around the Midwest where I lived. So at Purdue and Notre Dame and Wisconsin, and like just an indicator of like how bizarre a business we work in. Like when I got this card in March of 2012, I was like, yeah, right. Like ESPN, absolutely not going to happen. And within, 10 months, that had somewhat come to fruition. And when I left, I didn't know whether I was going to be back for that next season, just because, like we talked about before, the tenuous nature of broadcasting jobs is how seasonal they are, and you don't know what opportunity is going to lie ahead. But I dug that out today because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that like that actually happened. And it's just a really great memory to look back on, because I still think so fondly of all those people who were on that team and around that team, winning record or not. It was a great year.
Another break, and then we'll finish up with Mike Cousins again, former UVM women's basketball broadcaster and current ESPN broadcaster. So you're listening to Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Cat.
Hey, hockey fans, it's Matt from Zero Gravity Craft Brewery. There's one thing I've learned through my love of playing and watching sports. It's that win or lose, I always enjoy myself. But we all know that winning is a whole lot more fun than losing. I think the same can be said about beer. Drinking beer is usually fun, but drinking really good beer is a whole lot more fun. Just like winning. You follow? Give Zero Gravity a try, and let's keep winning together. Cheers from Zero Gravity. And remember, please enjoy responsibly. Go Cats.
Hi, I'm here to pick up my mother's diabetic supplies.
Of course, Mrs. Jenkins. How is your mom?
Actually, yesterday she... Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Hey, Mom. I completely forgot about Jackie's birthday tomorrow. Do you think you could pick me up a card and a couple of gifts?
Okay.
Sorry. Hey, Jan.
Hi, honey.
Joey's definitely got allergies.
Hello.
Hi, Mommy. Are you still at Kenny's?
Would some Legos make you feel better?
Yeah.
We've got this.
Kenny Drugs. We got this. And that.
Burlington Country Club, located in the heart of Burlington and founded in 1924. BCC is the oldest club in Chittenden County, and although the club is steeped in rich history, the grounds and community continue to evolve. Today, BCC is filled with an energetic, youthful membership and a vibrant social scene with weekly leagues, couples golf, and family-friendly events that members can enjoy with friends and family alike. There's something for everyone, both on and off the course, at BCC.
There's just something about Vermont. It's more than green mountains and maple syrup. It's about the people. It's what makes us strong. No other company has symbolized Vermont's strength and independence more than Vermont Mutual. The only place to purchase Vermont Mutual policies is through local independent insurance agents. Vermont Mutual is the oldest insurance company in our state and also one of the highest rated in the nation. For your home, auto, and business insurance, visit Vermont Mutual online to find a local agent near you.
Now you can get the performance you need. Now you can get the features you want. Now you can get a cat. Because for a limited time, Milton Cat is offering 0% financing for 60 months on most machines. Now you can at Milton Cat.
Moving, remodeling, or just cleaning up? Make your project easy by renting a dumpster from Casella. Casella will help you estimate how much waste you have and recommend the best size dumpster for your job. And they will deliver it and remove it when you say so. It's that easy. It's all hauled away with no fuss and no worry. At home or at work, Casella will be there for you. To order your dumpster today, call 1-800-CASELLA or visit CasellaDumpster.com.
D Physical Therapy promises you a safe environment for treatment as we have for over 30 years. We have socially distanced zones within the clinic, screen each patient before all our visits, and are constantly disinfecting all our surfaces. Rabbit air purifiers in the clinic and UVC lamps keep our air clean at all times. We're here to help you feel good and get back in the game. Visit us in South Burlington, Shelburne, and Hinesburg, or on the web at dept.com. That's DEEPT.com.
It's back, the return of the prestigious Learfield IMG College Directors Cup, honoring college sports excellence across all competitive divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow along with L Directors Cup on Twitter or online to see which schools will be taking home a first place trophy in June for their season-long success. Learfield IMG College Directors Cup, a premier institutional award jointly launched in 1993 by USA Today and NACTA.
It's nice to know that they are such a big fan of what we do and appreciate it. I felt that way with the women's basketball team for the past couple of years, and now with hockey, they just gave me a jersey, which was like the nicest thing ever with my name on the back and everything. So it's nice to know, especially with the way this industry is and how fickle it can be, that there's people out there from, you know, when you were young and your first job that believe in what you're doing.
Yeah. And you know, there's definitely bumps along the way too, because I think it was either our first or second game. Maybe it was one of the exhibitions, like against St. Mike's, and the radio equipment just kind of gave out on me. So I had to dial into the like call-in line at the studio at the table courtside at Patrick Gym was like not a rotary phone, but like one level above that, where like the handset sits on top of the phone and it had a dial keypad, but there's a photo and I couldn't find it. But I think my mom might have it maybe. And it's a picture of me holding the handset of the phone up to Lori, the head coach, for our post-game interview, because that was the only way that we were going to be still on the air because the equipment had malfunctioned. And you just roll with the punches. But yeah, to know that the people are invested in you, like we did the coaches show every week. And so I would have an interview with a player, or, you know, at one point we had a bye week. And so I interviewed all of the assistant coaches while they were out on the road, getting their backstories. I went into the studio to get them on the phone and do that. And that they're willing to give their time to be able to help me out was really nice. And now one of them, Shannon Bush, who was an assistant when I was there, is now an assistant at Fresno State, which has been a really successful team in the Mountain West. And it's like, that's great to see people who you knew, quote unquote, way back when, who are still succeeding.
So now you're at ESPN, and, you know, it really was a short time, like you mentioned, after UVM that you got that job. And it's just the beginning of your career, I'm sure. But what's that game that, looking back, you know, you're a grandpa someday, what are you going to brag about the most so far?
The one that's the most memorable for me is, strangely enough, the sport that I probably call the least, which is college wrestling. And between, you know, my schedule from like Labor Day to Memorial Day goes college football, college basketball, college wrestling, college softball, college baseball, and occasionally a little bit of Major League Baseball on a fill-in basis over the course of the summer on the radio. So I got introduced to college wrestling like 2 months before I did my first national championship, which is an overwhelming experience. But this one was in Cleveland a couple of years ago. And Penn State right now is the dynastic team in college wrestling. They won 8 of the last 9 national championships. So they've been really hard to stop. And the NCAA wrestling championships, those sell out so fast. So the people who are there, like, there's not the necessarily like the high roller suites that you might get at the college football playoff national championship or college basketball. Like, it is a party atmosphere around the championships, but it's the people who are there who are dying to be there and have been going for 20 and 30 years and see their friends once a year at this event. And so Penn State, I think it was maybe the 8th out of 10 matches on the night, won the match. Also with that, got enough team points to secure their team championship. And it's just the loudest building I've ever been a part of. And going back to when I started listening to games on the radio, you could hear in an announcer's voice almost right at the swing of the bat whether it was going to be a deep fly ball that was going to be a home run or whether it was a routine ground out to third. And it just makes your heart skip a beat sometimes when you have that moment, because it doesn't come along very often in our day-to-day lives. And so with the building being as loud as it was in Cleveland, and I just took my headset off for like 10 seconds and just looked around, because one, there was nothing that I needed to say or could say that would make the moment better. It would only make it worse. So I didn't need to be adding anything on the air at that moment. But just to look around and see like 20,000 people losing it, and knowing that this is a rare experience in life that you're not going to see probably anywhere else. And so that's just always going to stick with me.
That's very interesting. I did not expect you were going to say that. So what has COVID-19 been like for you as a national broadcaster? How has that brought about different challenges for your job?
In the fall, I still traveled for college football. We left a day later than we usually would. In a normal year, we would fly out on a Thursday, and we would interview the home team and their coaching staff on Friday. But now we just do all that over Zoom. So that got moved to Thursdays, and we would travel on Friday. So it was one less day on the road, which, all things considered this year, trying to be as safe as possible and stay home as much as possible, that was okay. In the booth, not very much changed as far as that went, because as long as we could be spaced out, then, you know, our safety protocol said we were okay with that. Now, I did one college football game at the end of the season, and then so far all of my college basketball games have been from an at-home setup, and that's in my basement. So I just walk through my kitchen and into my basement, and I can be on the air. I think what you lose is the element of the nonverbal interactions with your broadcast partner, of knowing when the other one's going to be finished with their sentence, or if they want to make a point, I'll just kind of, you know, lift my hand and say, hey, it's all yours, whatever you want to say. Or I might raise my index finger and say, hey, there's a point I want to make here. It's not that we can't see each other over Zoom when we're on the air, because that's the way our setup works, but it's not instantaneous. And so that split second can lead to you talking over one another. So you miss small things like that. You might miss a referee's signal if they're out of camera range or not in the shot at the moment, or if there's some type of technical foul. You know, normally the official in college basketball would come over and tell you what that is. So now you have to rely on someone relaying that to you from the arena. So it's the small differences like that for me. So I don't feel like I've lost a ton from not being in any particular building, and not traveling and being as safe as possible makes me feel a lot more comfortable too.
What advice would you give young broadcasters, young athletes alike that are just trying to fulfill this lifelong dream?
Reach out to as many people as possible whose work you admire and would like to emulate, and whose level of success you'd like to achieve one day. Because the path, whether it's in athletics or broadcasting, that you take will be uniquely yours. There's no one path you can hope to follow. Like if you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school. If you want to be a doctor, you go to medical school, and then you become credentialed. Well, you don't have any credentials in broadcasting. It's just how well can you do the job? And, you know, I think that was a big help for me getting the job initially with UVM, was that coming out of college, I knew how to set up all my own equipment. I knew how to record and edit interviews. I knew how to host a coach's show. So being able to do those things at a proficient level right away, and get feedback from those people and understand what their path was, and try and get to know as many people as you can, because you never know where people are going to end up. You know, the people that I graduated with in my senior class out of Syracuse, one guy works in finance, another one works in technology. You know, Mike Lefko, who I mentioned before, is a radio producer out in Seattle. Kevin Brown works for ESPN and works for the Baltimore Orioles. We could never have known all of these things 10 years ago. That things were going to end up this way. So the more interconnected you are with other people, I think the better off you'll be, because, you know, like I said, all the opportunities that have come my way have been through people that I got to know at Syracuse, not because I got to know them with the ulterior motive of one day hopefully getting a job out of knowing somebody. But if they know you and they like your work, people want to hire people who they like and hire people who they know and trust. And that's a good way to start building those relationships early on.
Well, I think we'll end on that. Thanks so much. And we can catch you said Thursday, right?
It'll be Wednesday.
Wednesday
the 17th at 6:30 Eastern on the ACC Network.
I should know that as a Syracuse fan, but I'm so all over the place.
Really, what is time anymore? What are days? Who can really know?
No, I have no clue what's going on. And honestly, sometimes with them, I get so frustrated. It's a very toxic relationship, me and Sarah. So again, thanks so much for coming on, Mike.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much to Mike Cousins once again. Really cool to hear from him. We're going to step aside, and then we're going to hear from UVM field hockey senior Claire Sheehan on Catamount Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Curious about cannabidiol? Ceres Natural Remedies is Vermont's premier destination for all things CBD. We demystify hemp-derived CBD with genuine facts, something we call full-spectrum education. Visit us in downtown Burlington, Middlebury, and Brattleboro for lab-tested, Vermont-crafted CBD products. Show your student ID to save 10%, or shop online at CeresRemedies.com. That's C-E-R-E-S Remedies.com.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
NFP Vermont delivers comprehensive insurance, human resources, and retirement solutions. Get the best of both worlds. Personalized service of Vermont company, backed by the resources of a national brokerage firm. We will guide you every step of the way to achieve your business goals. Visit nfpvt.com to learn more. NFP Vermont, one stop for all insurance, human resources, and retirement needs.
So, as an alcohol-free product full of real Budweiser taste, we have the unique opportunity to bring Budweiser's flavor, taste, and enjoyment to guests with zero compromise. Budweiser Zero. Full-flavored, zero alcohol brew. 0% alcohol, 100% on your game. This message is brought to you by your friends at Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now you can get the performance you need. Now you can get the features you want. Now you can get a cat. Because for a limited time, Milton Cat is offering 0% financing for 60 months on most machines. Now you can at Milton Cat.
Bill McKenzie of McKenzie Country Classics and Bill Cherry of Switchback Brewing talk about McKenzie Switchbrats.
One of the great things about the sausage is the quality of the two companies involved to make this one great product. Switchback beer and McKenzie sausage.
And you take your first bite and you're like, oh, now this represents exactly what bratwurst is supposed to taste like.
It's been a great hit. I mean, it took off like a skyrocket and it hasn't slowed down.
Find McKenzie Switchbrats in Vermont wherever fine meats are sold.
D Physical Therapy is accepting new patients at all three of our locations. We have been serving the greater Burlington area for over 30 years, accepting all insurances. Treating athletes, the injured worker, student athletes, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. We're here to help you feel good and get back in the game. Visit us in South Burlington, Shelburne, and Hinesburg, or on the web at dept.com. That's DEEPT.com.
Moving, remodeling, or just cleaning up? Make your project easy by renting a dumpster from Casella. Casella will help you estimate how much waste you have and recommend the best size dumpster for your job. And they will deliver it and remove it when you say so. It's that easy. It's all hauled away with no fuss and no worry. At home or at work, Casella will be there for you. To order your dumpster today, call 1-800-CASELLA or visit CasellaDumpster.com.
Here on Catamount Insider, presented by Milton Cat, I'm Maura Sheridan, and I'm joined by UVM field hockey senior and Vermont native, Claire Sheehan. Thanks so much for coming on, Claire.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We were actually teammates when we both played at Rice High School right across the street in South Burlington. How did you get into field hockey? Did you start late? Did you start when you were younger?
Yeah, I had gone to a couple of camps But in Vermont, there's not really much available until you reach middle school. So once I got into middle school was when I really started to enjoy it and continued on into high school and now college, obviously.
So you were part of some really good teams at Rice. And one of them was the team that we were on. We lost in the state championship. I guess it was my senior year, your freshman year. What did you learn from me, the greatest player of all time? I'm kidding.
I think I learned a little bit about goalkeeping from you.
No, I mean, what did you learn from that freshman season where you're on varsity and then ultimately you ended up winning a championship the next year?
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes to show how just like hard work and perseverance, because I know I think that team had lost 2 years in a row, and definitely a lot of really motivated players the year we won, and just sort of seeing through like a strong season and being able to finish when it mattered.
So you're from a long line of family members that have gone to UVM. You've had 4 immediate family members go to UVM. So what factored into that decision? How much did your family play a part in that?
I think at first it almost made me not want to come to UVM. But I had heard a lot of great stories from them, and that kind of thing. But ultimately, I think it was kind of my own decision, and none of them had ever been involved in athletics. So it was kind of something new that I got to do for all of us for the first time, which was cool.
How much did it, you know, help that you had strong leaders in your life that had played UVM field hockey? I know your middle school coach played, and then Kelly McClintock at Rice. How much of a factor did that play into your decision?
I think it played a pretty big role in my decision, actually, because growing up, that's sort of all that I had heard about, was these like amazing experiences that they had had. And so it just made me really interested in sort of following in their footsteps, definitely.
So as a senior going into your senior year, what can you learn from your freshman experience and your experiences as a younger player that you can take into this season?
Yeah, I think just like sort of trusting the process, and I feel like more than ever that's important this year, just because everything is sort of up in the air a little bit, but knowing that like if we put in the work now, then the results will come. I think that's something that sort of has been true all 4 years for me.
What's the best piece of advice that Coach Pfeiffer or the coaching staff has given you?
I think trust the process. That probably is the best advice that they gave to me. Sort of my freshman year coming in, there was a big change from high school to college, and I had a ton to learn. And that was what Kate, Coach Pfeiffer, had said to me, was like, trust the process, put in the work, and it'll come eventually. So
what players helped you? What players mentored you in your first couple years?
I think in my first couple years, there was a really strong class 2 years above me. And there was players like Liv Hurd, Landon Warren, Carla Godsman, who they had sort of seen the program through the change with the new coaching staff. And I think they just had a ton of good perspective and always wanted to help make us all better.
Did you have a position change when you came in?
Yes. So I went from midfield to defense.
What was that like?
It was definitely a big change, because in high school, I would say defense isn't really a thing. So there was just so many new skills to learn, and even just getting used to playing on a new surface at college was a challenge as well.
Yeah, so what do you think your biggest strength is now as a field hockey player?
I would say now it might be sort of composure in the backfield. I think that was something that I really had to work on. But now just sort of being able to take care of the ball and make smart decisions in critical moments is probably something that I would consider a strong suit.
I know it's not over yet. You still got a full season left, but what's one of your favorite memories of your time at UVM?
I think probably my sophomore year, we made the America East tournament and got to travel out to California together. And we ended up losing, but just being able to like qualify, make that trip out there and like all do it together was something that I'll definitely never forget.
Would you say that was a huge bonding moment for the team?
Yes, definitely. And like, I think for my class especially, it really is like motivating us to get back to the tournament.
So this season is just totally different than seasons past. And, you know, a lot was on the line in the fall, and ultimately America East pushed fall sports to spring. So how has that changed kind of the arc of the year for you?
Yeah, it was definitely tough coming in the fall and not playing games. But I think like looking back on it now, it was definitely a really special experience that we all got to be together for a full semester prior to games, because normally we don't get to have the freshmen for that period. So it's definitely been a little bit strange for me, but I think I've enjoyed it and I'm really looking forward to finally getting some games.
What's the sort of leadership style that you're going to take with the freshmen in this sort of unique year?
I think we've just been trying to tell them and like show them the best we can, like how even though we haven't played a game yet, we still kind of expect like a high level of intensity, and we haven't really had much that we were training for in like the immediate future, but now like preparing them for a few weeks from now, we have a game. So
yeah, March 7th, it's coming up soon. So what are your goals for this season?
I think our goals are, well, the main one, of course, is to reach the tournament. I think that would be huge for us. And in my senior year, that's definitely what I want to do. But also to come out with like a winning record and that sort of thing.
So I know that, you know, you value being a student athlete first. So what have you been doing outside of field hockey?
So outside of field hockey, I have been finishing up my degree, which is pretty exciting. And I've also been working on an internship. So it's been pretty great that I can pursue my academic and athletic goals at the same time.
All right. So again, March 7th against UMass, that's going to be the first game for UVM field hockey. So we'll make sure to update everyone once we get the times for that. But that is going to be a Sunday and it's coming up quick. So thanks so much, Claire, for joining me. Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you, Maura.
It's back, the return of the prestigious Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, honoring college sports excellence across all competitive divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow along with L Director's Cup on Twitter or online to see which schools will be taking home a first place trophy in June for their season-long success. Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, a premier institutional award jointly launched in 1993 by USA Today and NACTA. It's back, the return of the prestigious Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, honoring college sports excellence across all competitive divisions, both men's and women's sports. Follow along with L Director's Cup on Twitter or online to see which schools will be taking home a first place trophy in June for their season-long success. Learfield IMG College Director's Cup, a premier institutional award jointly launched in 1993 by USA Today and NACTA.